Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Wix. Create a professional website by yourself. It is so easy. Get started now by going to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/podcast to get 10% off. That's Wix.com/podcast. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a security officer recounts his late night paranormal encounters. Orbs aren't just for cameras anymore, as a woman encounters glowing balls of light throughout her home. And who is the strange man in the bathroom stall next to you? Is it a person at all?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, it is. 855-853-4802 is our number. You can write it, realghoststoriesonline.com. Email an audio file, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And the most important thing, if you like the program, you want to support this thing and keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. You get the extra podcast we put out every single week on Thursdays. You can hear the preview of it. You get access to all of those, more than 230 some now, exclusively to EPPs, extra podcast people. Go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up for that. You also get an e-copy of our book absolutely free. The $14 value, Amazon bestseller right there. All when you sign up for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on today's episode. And how are you this fine day?
Well, Tony, I'm fine. And what about you?
I am just bursting with country fresh excitement, I guess. Flavor doesn't make any sense.
Is that a new deodorant or something?
It is. It's this great new one I got. It's from Crisco. They're making this deodorant, and it's weird because it doesn't come in a stick. It comes like in one of those giant tubs, and you got to kind of take your fingers with a little bit.
You just slather it on.
Yeah, you take some of the like wax paper, and you get a little bit of that in there, and you just rub it on, and you're good every morning. It's really great. You still want to go into
now
the
your
sun.
Your clothes, on the other hand, they'll never be the same.
They won't,
but you'll smell like a country fresh breeze.
You smell like a Cracker Barrel, pretty much. You're like, oh, shit. What happened to you? Yeah. You can't go outside either. You kind of baste yourself if you do that. So, there you go. So that's it. I don't really have anything exciting to share this week. I have no experiences. We had snow this week, which was kind of neat. The dogs enjoyed playing in it. It was Sting, our golden, his first time ever seeing snow, and he was just thrilled. He was out there jumping around. I didn't send you the video. I should have sent you that. I'll send it to you. And he was just,
yeah, because that's adorable.
I know, just hopping around, going nuts, and having a grand old time. Did you guys get snow over there in Wichita?
We sure did.
Yeah. Did you go and build
and
a snowman?
Of course, it was a night where I was helping out at an event, so I'm in a dress and heels, walking through the snow to get back to my car, to clean my car off before I could leave. I'm like, why didn't I bring boots? Why am I in heels doing this?
Good times. Good times. I'm just
whatever. We raised a lot of money, so that was good.
Well, that's good. What was it for?
A special needs theater troupe that I'm involved with,
good.
And they did a great job. I was super proud of them.
Good. I enjoy the snow when it's like thick and snowing, but once it's done, it can go away. Cause like today we just kind of like had the half yard filled with snow and it was just kind of wet and weird and like, okay, I'm ready for spring. We're done. We had our snow, but, there you go. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I just texted you the video, so you may get it during this next story. You can check it up. Let's go to our first story here, and it says, hi, my name is Brian. For almost 20 years, I've worked as a security officer in various buildings throughout the Boston area, and I've had a handful of paranormal things happen to me in some of the buildings that I've worked in. This story is about a little boy who did not want to leave the hotel that he called home. The name of the hotel, which I will not name as it is still in operation today, the hotel was built right before the Great Depression, and the man that ran the hotel and his family lived there for among the other guests for many years. Little boy would always be seen running up and down the hallways of various hotel floors, running into guests and just being a little kid. One day, he came down with the flu, and with medicine during that time not being as advanced as it was now, the young boy sadly passed away. When I first started at this hotel, I heard the story many times and did not believe them until one night, making my rounds. All the guests were asleep. I was on the third floor of the hotel and heard what I thought was a little kid laughing through my radio. I thought it was the other security guard screwing with me since I was still kind of new to the job. I called him over the radio and said that I heard him, that he did not scare me. But then as he was talking, I heard the laugh again as if it were right next to me. I then started to check the area around me, and there was no way anybody could have run away without me seeing them or making some noise. I'd hear this laugh now and then during my rounds for the years that I worked at the hotel. This story, among a few other incidents that happened to me at this hotel, made me believe in the paranormal. Thank you for sharing this story. I'm proud to be an EPP. It's one of those stories you have a ghost of a child, which is always, I mean, it's a sad concept by itself. But I have to say, if you have to have a ghost kid in your story and you're at a place with a ghost kid, I'd much rather hear of the child doing things like this and having fun and screwing with people and being a kid versus, oh, there's the crying child in the corner who's lost looking for mom or something like that.
Yeah, because that one really bothers me.
Yeah. It's the confused.
But this one, like if you hear a kid laughing, I mean, I still think it's sad. But if you hear a kid laughing, it's way better than that weird wailing kid sound.
Yeah. It's like he's kind of found, like, he knows where he's at, he knows what's kind of going on, and he's making the best of it. And that's good. I guess that's the best thing that could possibly happen if he's kind of stuck there. And, you know.
And I wonder how that works, like. Where's the ghost kid parents? Mm-hmm. Like, you think one of them would stay behind? You wouldn't want your kid to be a ghost all on his own.
No.
Or do you? I don't know.
No, I mean, I can't. I mean, as a parent, I would never want that. But at the same time, how much control do you have over the situation, I guess, would be the thought. There was an interview I did on the Grave Talks, the other podcast, last year sometime. And I can't recall what the location was, but it was a house that had, I think it was like a bed and breakfast now, but it had been many things over the years. Very old building, and there was a ghost child in that building. And there was also some ghost adults who were in the building, not the parents of the child, though. And they had recorded in EVP sessions these voices in EVP sessions and through like the ghost box thing where they can kind of pick up words here and there. And they concluded essentially that the ghost adults were interacting with the ghost child and almost essentially becoming surrogate parents to the ghost child who was stuck there along with them. Almost like they adopted this child after death because they were all in the same plane together. And to me, that was one of the most interesting pieces of evidence that I've ever heard of, just interaction and getting kind of a snapshot of the other side of how things interact and how people can still interact on the other side and how you can still care about other people on the other side, even if they're not your loved ones, you know, genetically. But if you're there and they're there and you're stuck, like, oh, we're going to kind of be a team together. We're going to help you and we're going to, you know, be this role for you. The same way that someone in life could be like that as a step parent or a surrogate parent, whatever you may have you. It's like, oh, they do it over there too. And it shouldn't be that shocking because that's how people act on this end. But it's so weird to think of the other side of like, oh, this continues. You can still do that. But it
was because there's a, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Number one. But it's like, as a parent, it's like, it seems like you wouldn't take that next step unless you knew your kid was there. Or, but maybe you'd been gone for 20 years or, yeah. Well, I mean, not if you had a kid, but, you know, maybe the way the timing of everything was.
Yeah.
I just, was like, there was no going back or no helping. Yeah.
That's what I think. Maybe you shouldn't have a choice. Like maybe you may have moved on to the next place, but your kids didn't. And you have no choice in the matter. You may want to be able to go back, but you know, that's just not an option for you. You can't. It's beyond your control. That's my only guess. I mean, I would think if you're a parent and you can go and be with your kids, I would say, I'm going back to be with them until we can move them over too. I'm not going to go and, well, wait, you know, till it's your turn. And you can stay stuck in this house forever. Like, that's, I don't think most parents would do that. But interesting just to hear some of those perspectives. Back to the ghost stories in just a second. First, we got to thank our supporter of this episode, our friends at Wix. If you've ever wanted to create a professional website, but felt like, I don't have all the coding skills, I don't have even some of the services out there that seem to be kind of easy, once you kind of dive in and you're like, oh my God, trust me, I've been there, done that. And then came along a little place called Wix. Wix.com/podcast. Go there, get 10% off, and you can try it for yourself. I mean, it really is the easiest way to build a website. No matter what type of website you want to make, whether it's for your business, whether it's personal, whether it's for a hobby, whatever it may be, e-commerce, music, hotels, events, restaurants, more, they have the tools for you to do it. And I can't express to you in this one message just how much they offer you. It's one of those things where, because I've done it, I've built websites by myself from scratch with nothing else. It's a lot of work. And then I discovered the ease of Wix, and I was just blown away at how many tools they give you in terms of not only just the like text and fonts and design layouts and all that, but images, videos, more. I mean, there's just so many things that you can use. They have over 500 stunning templates. You can start, or you can start from scratch if you want to do that. I love the template route because it gets me to a place where like I can envision how I want the site to look, and I can get a good starting point. And it's amazing. You start and you publish for free. Okay. So if you're kind of like, maybe try it. Start and publish for free. Over 140 million people use Wix for their websites. You will absolutely love it. I love it. This is something that I've been using for a while now, and it blows me away. I was a little skeptical at first, just because, you know, you hear things and you're like, oh, no, let's try it. Wow. Just wow. Try it for yourself. 10% off to get a membership over there at Wix. That's Wix.com/podcast. Wix.com/podcast. Check them out. If you're building a website, it will save you tons of time and you will be so happy with the end results. Wix.com/podcast. 855-853-4802, our phone number, at Real Ghost Stories Online, ghostpodcast.com, the place to get all of our EPP bonus episodes. And if you want to hear what those sound like these days, because it's a whole new sound to them over the past, since late last year, you can hear the bonus previews on Thursday. Get a good 10-15 minute chunk of that. And you can really see how cool those episodes are and the way that we tell those stories. Whole different way of doing it. Check those out. And if you like it, hey, become an EPP. $5 a month. Get access to all of them at ghostpodcast.com. Next story says, hey, guys, I've submitted more stories than the one I made one that was on the episode called The Chief. I've had more experiences than these, so I think I'm probably sensitive. I'm an EPP and I love it. Here's another story to share. First time I saw an apparition, I was 7. I was spending the night at my friend's house. We've been up watching TV. Her mom didn't care how long we were up. It was about 1 a.m. and we were about to head to bed. Got up from her couch to get ready for bed, and there was this orb floating in the dining room. All the windows were covered with blinds. I looked around to see where the source of the light was coming from, and as I moved to look around it, it moved closer to me. She was at that point standing right next to me and whispered, "What the heck is that?" It continued to move closer. We both freaked out. There was a hallway next to us. We both ran down the hall. The orb traveled into the hallway after us. Then it stopped right in front of her mom's bedroom door. She and I stopped at the opposite side of the hallway, right by the door to her room. There was an opening to the kitchen on the other end of the hallway, and I went out and told my friend to tell me if it moved. I looked around for a light source. There was nowhere it could have come from. She said it was moving right when I was coming back. We both screamed and ran into the bathroom, which was in between where the orb was and her bedroom and the locked door. It was the only door with a lock. Her mom did not come and check on us even after we screamed. She and I ended up huddling in the bathtub for a good hour. Then we went back out to check and see if it was still out there, but it was gone. She and I had other weird crap happen at that house, too. Spent the night again, and her closet light randomly turned on. The switch was on the inside of the closet, so I went into the closet to turn it off. As I was leaving the closet, I heard something whispered, "Hey," in my ear. Freaked me out so much that I took my stuff and walked home at 2:30 a.m. She lived right down the street from me, so it wasn't that bad. What do you guys think it could have been? Do ghosts randomly appear as orbs? What's your guys' opinion on this? What's your thoughts on orbs, Carol?
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because normally you hear of orbs in photos, maybe on video.
Yeah.
But I've never really heard of someone like the orb was like you're seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would see an apparition, maybe. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't want to. But seeing an orb, is that very common? Is that something that you've heard much of?
Every once in a while, you get the story of the orb that someone is seeing visibly without through the lens of a camera. And quite honestly, with the camera orbs, more times than not, it's a light refraction somehow. I mean, they're so difficult to look at an orb picture and say, is this something or is this just the way that the lens picked up the light in some obscure angle? Because it's very, very easy to happen and be nothing paranormal. Sometimes you get those videos of orbs where it's like you can see it moving in very strange directions without the camera moving. Those are a little more, there's a little more validation to those. But the ones where it's without a camera and there's some ball of light moving around, that to me is really...
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It is. It is. So the fact that they're seeing this thing is really quite, you know, that's clearly something that's going on. And that is a way that sometimes these things manifest themselves. There's a story that was told to me by someone that I might have said this on the air before, you still work with, I once worked with and I was there. And he said that him and his wife were in bed one night and he saw essentially this orb thing float in through the wall above him. And this is a very credible man for the most part.
I mean, somebody I know?
Yeah, yeah.
What's his initials?
JC. And
I know who that is.
Very credible professional individual. And he's just kind of no nonsense in a lot of things, but he just told me the story because he knew I was into ghost stuff. And he said he saw this orb just kind of literally floating through his wall, and this thing just kind of floated above him. And he looked up at it and was like, "What the hell?" And he tapped his wife and said, "Honey, there's something above us." And she goes, "Oh yeah, that's my..." And I forgot exactly the wording he used, but something of like spirit protector or something of that nature, of like this protective thing that she's well aware of, to the point of, I don't need to open my eyes to even look at it because I'm cool that it's there. And he's like,
which is so crazy, because okay, I'd be shitting my pants. And she's like, "Oh yeah, I know what that is."
I know. So, I mean, this stuff does happen, and it can be troubling. It can be, I guess, comforting to some when they already know what it is. But no, it does happen sometimes. But orbs, I think, sometimes get a little bit overblown in terms of photos. When we were in Savannah one day doing a tour, they were like, "Oh, you can take a picture right here in front of this tree," which so many people were hung from. You'll get these orbs, and everyone who takes a picture there gets an orb, but it's clearly from the streetlight that's refracting in this one place. Like, it's not a ghost; it's just the streetlight. But anyway.
I think in certain lighting, dust can do that.
Yeah,
and you know, there's definitely a lot of explanations now. There are some that's like, what? Like, you take I have a series where it's like a couple pictures are fine. Then the third one, it's like the moon is right in the middle of one of them.
Yeah.
Now, what caused that? I have no idea. That wouldn't have been in the other pictures.
I don't
know. But there's one that's just perfectly a circle, super bright. And it's like actually the focal point of the picture.
And sometimes you get them like that without any explanation.
Yeah.
It's just, you always got to kind of look for those possibilities. Did you see that? Did you see the blood moon?
Freaked me out to actually see one.
Yeah. The blood moon. Did you see that? And by the time where this will air, it was a couple weeks ago. But last night is when it happened.
I did not.
I walked outside. That was pretty neat. We had a nice clear night. I was like, ooh, that's spooky.
But I saw pictures of it. It looked really cool.
Our older daughter got up and she took a look at it. She was in bed, kind of sleeping, but she got up. And our youngest, I went in to go in and ask her if she wanted to see it. And she was snoring, because she does. and I tap her. I'm like, honey. And she's like, honey, you want to see the moon real quick? It's really neat. It's an eclipse that's going on. She's like, yeah. Eyes wide open, staring at me, snoring.
She's
completely awake, continuing to snore. I'm like,
that's funny.
I'm like, honey, do you want to see it? Yeah, I do, Daddy. I'm like,
oh my God, she's cute.
I don't think you're aware of what you're saying, honey. And I put her little, she's a little unicorn eye mask that she puts on over her eyes when she goes to bed. So I just kind of slipped that back over her eyes and she didn't even notice. I'm like, okay, good night.
And then this morning, he's like, Dad, why didn't you wake me up?
I said to her this, I told her the story. She's like, damn it, I wanted to see that eclipse.
God.
And literally, that's exactly what she said. And she's sick. She says, damn it, I wanted to see that eclipse. So,
well, she does take after her father.
She does. She very much does. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to our next story. It says, this one takes place in October. A group of friends decided we were going to go on a ghost tour in downtown Dallas in the West End area. When I say ghost tour, I view it as a history tour, because it all surrounds stories told from a guide about events would have happened in particular locations and what hauntings occur there now. Before we begin our ghost tour, we decided to all have dinner at a restaurant near the meeting spot for our tour. The restaurant is supposedly haunted, so we thought it would be a great way to begin our night. Everyone at the table was a little excited, hoping or expecting something to happen, and nothing does. Before we leave, one of the girls in our group stated that she wanted to go to the restroom before we began the 2-hour-long ghost tour. But she didn't want to go alone because she was scared of the ghosts in the restaurant. So I volunteered to go with her because I thought I should probably go to the restroom too. I finished and washed my hands, but she told me her stall ran out of toilet paper. So I knocked on her door to pass her some toilet paper, and she couldn't open the door. She panicked and was pushing against the door to open it. While I was pulling, the door would not open. I told her to calm down because she probably still had the door locked and she was scaring herself. At this point, she was crying and says, I didn't lock the door because I was scared it wouldn't open. The door finally opens and she saw I was away from the door, so she knew I wasn't playing a joke on her. She was washing her hands and her face. We walked back out to the table and she told everyone we needed to leave. She was shaking from being so scared. Some might ask why she didn't crawl under the stall door to get out. Unfortunately, at this restaurant, theirs are full doors that go all the way to the ground, so there was no way for her to escape. Funny thing is, unbeknownst to us, that restaurant was covered on our tour. The guide mentioned how there's supposedly a ghost who haunts the restrooms. We all just looked at each other in shock. The second story takes place in Wackanack. I can't say this. Do you know the name of how to say this? Waxahachie, Texas?
I think that would be pretty close. I don't know.
I
think that's close.
Waxahachie. This is a story that's to be with Jen on the episode because she's the Texan. She'd be like, oh yeah, it's Waxahachie, whatever. I'd be like, okay, great, sure. Anyhow, people who are from the surrounding areas could probably guess this restaurant. It's called the Catfish Plantation. It's well known. Has been on many ghost investigation shows because of its activity. My parents and I went to have dinner at this location. Everything was fine, nothing out of the ordinary, until our waitress brings our drinks. I had a view of the kitchen swinging door and saw our waitress coming out with a tray. Keep in mind, it's just a swinging door. Takes a little effort to open it. As our waitress was coming out, the door swings back with a lot of force towards the waitress, knocking the tray of drinks over. Waiter comes to give us our drinks and makes a comment, sorry for the inconvenience, here's your drinks, your waitress will be out shortly. When our waitress returned to check on us, she apologized. I told her I'd witnessed what had happened to her, so the drinks falling was not her fault. and she didn't have to apologize for anything. We casually said, or very casually said, this happens all the time, and that's why we all have to bring extra clothes to work. Well, some haunted restaurant stories right there. And the first one, I guess, took place in a spaghetti factory. It's what it said.
Really?
So, yeah. And it makes me think of the old Wichita Spaghetti Factory, which was sitting downtown vacant the whole time I lived there. It looked kind of like a spooky building, but it was.
And they're doing something with it. They're putting in some apartments and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Finally, something's
going on. I
thought
the second story was also going to be a restaurant bathroom. I was like, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Everywhere she goes to the bathroom, there's ghosts. That would be kind of cool and not at the same time.
You ever had a ghostly experience in a bathroom?
No, but one time I was going to the bathroom and I was drinking a lot, and I sit down and somebody comes in the next stall, and it was weird. There was like some weird noise, so I kind of glanced underneath, and it was boots, men's boots, and they were going the wrong way, and I'm like, crap, I'm in the men's room. And he was actually in the women's room. So he wasn't a ghost.
Yeah.
But I had a really hard time walking out of the bathroom because I was convinced I had gone into the men's room.
Sure.
So I finally did exit, but he was not a ghost. I was just drunk. And he was drunker.
The other day we were in the restroom at home, and it was me and Harp, because she's still little enough where I have to take her into the restroom together. And we were in the stall, and there was someone else who had walked into the bathroom, and she whispers over to me. She's like, she gives me this look of like, I'm going to screw with these people that we hear on the outside that can't see us. So she pulls her sleeve up on her jacket, and then she proceeds to blow into her arm to make the... And just sounding like just horrific farting noises. And she just keeps doing it. And then she stops every couple of seconds. She's like, and laughing like a whispery laugh at me.
Oh my God, I love Harper.
She's like, I'm just going to make these people so uncomfortable. And she just like, oh, this is great. This is hilarious. So, yeah. We enjoy locking ourselves in bathroom stalls and screwing with those around us. That's me and my daughter.
That one woman actually had a ghost in her bathroom, so I guess she one-ups everybody.
Sure, I think that does one-up everybody. But there you go. They got ghosts, we got farting noises, so, because we're both six. So, 855.
Once again, she is her father's daughter.
100%. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to caller. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your story.
Hello, my name is Tyler. I have no idea where I'm at in the podcast, as my wife introduced me to you extremely recently, this morning, actually. And while I was at work, I listened to several hours as I worked on these podcasts, and I am more than interested, and I will definitely continue listening to the podcast. I'm new to podcasts in general, as far as technology goes. Even though I should know, I'm still behind very so much. Anyway, I've had multiple encounters throughout my lifetime so far, encountering the supernatural or ghost or whatever you feel is appropriate to label or name them. But one particular podcast that I listened to struck a slight nerve and made me curious of where they were doing this, because they mentioned that they were in Sleepy Hollow, the actual location and bridge. Yes, it was based loosely off of a non-fictional story. But I grew up between Lynch, Kentucky and Kingsport, Tennessee. Sleepy Hollow is a real town where the actual story, fictional story, originated. It's in between Benham, Kentucky, and Cumberland, Kentucky. It's a very small holler. There's a bridge just outside of this town, and that's where the story originated from. That's where it comes from. Very familiar with it. In fact, my mother and my aunt set up a tent one night outside of the bridge on a Halloween night to do their own little investigation, which was a little bit of a story unto itself. But one of the main stories that struck a nerve over the probably dozen podcasts that I listened to while I was at work, that struck a memory that I haven't thought about in a long time, was when I was 8 years old. We were in Lynch, Kentucky, the small mining town. It's more or less a desolated retirement home, if you will, of a town, since there's nothing there and the mine shut down a long time ago. And I distinctly remember sleeping on the couch that night, because even though there was two bedrooms, we had a full house. In the downstairs bedroom, my mother slept. I slept on the couch. My aunt and uncle slept upstairs in one bedroom, and my grandmother and I believe my grandfather slept in another bedroom upstairs. Anyway, this house always gave me a feeling or a vibe or an energy, whatever you want to describe it as, any time that I stayed there. But it was always a comfortable one. It was always a welcoming one. I loved spending time in my grandfather's and grandmother's home. I loved being there. This one particular night, it was only the one incident throughout many years of sleeping in this home. But this particular incident, I was sleeping on the couch, and I vaguely woke up, as if what woke me up was the sound of my mother rustling, you know, if you will, moving about, and the combination of her moving about and the bright light. And the bright light was every single light in the living room, and the couch that I was sleeping on was on. And as soon as I woke up, I looked at my mother, and she insisted, just go back to sleep. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. But, you know, as a child, you're much more inquisitive as opposed to obeying. And I couldn't help myself but getting out of bed as she walked into the kitchen. The kitchen was connected to a parlor, which was connected to the living room through doors. Anyway, my grandmother, is, who's lived in this home for the better part of 30 years, is so meticulous and coordinates so much, so OCD about things. She has rearranged the entire house countless times, probably once a month for 30 years. She rearranges the furniture, she rearranges everything. Just because she can't sit still. And so, naturally, that goes without saying that she does not leave lights on. She does not leave cabinet doors open or anything of that nature. Everything is buttoned up and tidy. This particular night that woke me up, it was in the middle of the night. I'm guessing around midnight-ish. But every light in my mother's bedroom, the living room, the parlor, the foyer, the dining room, the kitchen on the first floor was on. And every single cabinet or door, anything that could move, the fireplace, everything was open, sprung out, on end. And that always stuck out of my mind. And even in the experience, I was still not, as a child, granted, I still didn't feel uncomfortable by it, just slightly perturbed, just, well, that's not normal kind of attitude. And my grandmother came downstairs wanting to know who had turned on every light and opened every cabinet upstairs. And finally, they kind of dismissed it and said, let's not worry about it, and proceeded to turning off the multiple lights downstairs and upstairs on the second floor, and closing every cabinet door, every pantry door. Everything was open. Anyway, thank you.
Fun at grandma's, really, when you have that sort of stuff going down.
Well, and that's one of those things I can totally buy the ending of that. It's like, okay, let's all just turn off all the lights and close up all the cabinets and everything and pretend it never happened. Because that's exactly what you would do.
Sometimes that's probably just the best thing to do if you don't want to really dive into what the hell is going on here.
And what can you do? You've got kids in the house. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, turn off the lights. Let's go back to bed.
Yeah, I don't really know. How would you handle that? I suppose it depends on the kids that you're having with you at that moment. And can they handle this? Can they not handle this? Or is it just a blanket? There's kids around. We're not going to even dive into this.
I would totally do exactly what they did.
Yeah.
If there was kids in the house, absolutely.
Yeah. Creepy stuff.
And I would probably be up the rest of the night.
Yeah. I mean, because half of you have, you know, you're looking at this going, is it paranormal? I mean, I think eventually I would get there. I think my first reaction, though, sometimes would be, though, did somebody break in? Is somebody here? You know, and you're looking for evidence of that. But, you know, it doesn't really reek of that. It reeks much more of paranormal than anything else.
Any house that has a parlor, like, let's just all agree, it's haunted.
If there's a parlor, it's
haunted. If it has a parlor, just know that going into it before you buy it. If they call it a parlor, it's a haunted house.
Haunted as shit if there's a parlor in this
haunted
house.
Haunted AF.
855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. One more quick call before we wrap it up. Hi.
All right. So, Katie, this is my story. And this happened in 2005. October, I was in the active duty military, and they flew me to Honolulu, Hawaii, where I was staying at Fort Shafter Barracks. And that's in Honolulu, Hawaii, a little city called, little town called Kauai. And it sits like pretty much central Oahu. That's the island of Hawaii. And well, anyway, they based me at Fort Shafter Army Base. And I was staying on the fourth floor. First night I was there, I was kind of having a hard time falling asleep and whatnot. I moved everything in. It was my first night. And right when I about to fall asleep, I noticed that I had a little refrigerator. The refrigerator door opened up. And I'm just kind of standing there like, what's going on? I'm in bed, just sitting there like, what's going on? All of a sudden, I see a shadowy figure standing by the refrigerator. So I just jumped out of bed, hit the lights. When I hit the lights, the refrigerator door was open, but there was nobody there. So I just immediately took off running out, found out that somebody committed suicide on that floor, jumped out the window. I was wondering if this could have been a spirit that was coming by, grabbing something out of the refrigerator, or what was, I'm trying to figure out what would it could be. Please get back to me. My phone number is 309-307.
will not give out your phone number. But, I mean, what do you think about something like that, where there's something that, that occurs where it's a suicide of some sort? I mean, that doesn't necessarily strike me as where I would want to be hanging out and haunting after an event of that nature. But could it just be like the energy, essentially, that residual type thing that's going on?
I mean, to me, I think absolutely that could have been it.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you don't ever know, but like, but the refrigerator thing could have just been like an attention thing. That's what you see.
Sure.
And then you see that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, in my head, if that would have happened, like what he described, I would be like, oh, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, now I think you have that experience, and it's something, you know, that will not necessarily go away anytime soon. You're going to be wanting answers, and they're really, you're never going to get a true one, but there's some speculative, you know, possibilities there for you. 855-853-4802, our phone number, but Real Ghost Stories Online. And that will wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month. Get a free e-copy of our book. Get access to all 230-some EPP bonus episodes, video content, a whole lot more. $5 a month. Keeps us on the air. You like it? Support it? That's all we ask. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.